Welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. Each week, these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message, and that you'll share it with a friend. This morning, Pastor John continues the series entitled, Walking in Faith. Enoch lived during the time period before the Great Flood, which was so evil that God destroyed it. We know that Enoch was a man of great faith who pleased God so much that he was translated after 365 years on the earth and never saw death. Enoch passed on his knowledge, and eventually Moses used this information 1,000 years later in recording Genesis chapter 6. Even in the New Testament, we find that Jesus referred to the time before the flood and that Paul and Jude also quoted the book of Enoch. The people living before the flood were evil continually, but Enoch was like a bright light that walked with God and kept his integrity. This is important because we will also have to confront what Enoch faced thousands of years ago as the world reverts back to that type of activity during the reign of the Antichrist. History repeats itself, and we will do well to learn from the past so that we can face the future and be victorious. This message is entitled, The Man That Never Died. Now, let's go to the sanctuary and join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Praise God and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church on August 28th, 2011. And this is our last Sunday in the month of August. And I'm glad that you tuned in today and that those of you that are here. So why don't we stand and pray, and if you are watching in cyberspace, why don't you stand in front of your computer or screen and pray with us. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank and praise you right now. We can gather here this morning and to worship you, to bless you, to praise you, to magnify your name. And Father God, I pray right now, as we get into the Word of God, that you will bless it. You will use it, Father God, and help us to learn so that we shall be able to live victorious. That is always our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. Take your Bibles and turn me to Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 5. That's Hebrews 11, 5. And I'm continuing my teaching here on walking in faith, and today we're going to look upon the man that never died. The man that never died. Here's a background I want to share with you right now. The time from Adam, when he was created, and the flood was 1,676 years. That is a long period of time for a human being. 1,676 years. If you think about it now, during that long period of time, we have read about Adam and Eve. We read about Abel and Cain. We have a genealogy of the people that were in the righteous lineup. And then we hear about Enoch and Noah. That's it. Look at that. Just a few people that made history that was worth to mention. Adam and Eve are mentioned in shame. They had it all, and they gave it up for Satan. Abel wanted to walk with God. He gave a sacrifice to God, and he was murdered. Cain is mentioned as a villain, a bad man, a wild man. The other patriarchs, they get a notice, and so-and-so begets so-and-so, and so-and-so begets so-and-so. And we only have two other men that God simply talks about, Enoch, and Noah. With that background now, let's read from Hebrews 11, verse number 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had his testimony that he pleased God. Now, if you make it into Hebrews chapter 11, it is obvious that this man Enoch was a special man. He made an impression on people and on God. The only two people that have been translated, Enoch and Elijah. No one else. Let's look upon a background now of Enoch. And if you turn to Genesis 5:18. And we read this. And Jared lived 162 years, and he begat Enoch. This is where Enoch comes in the bloodline here. He was born. Let's turn to Jude chapter 14. That's the book of Jude, the 14th chapter. A lot of people are nervous to talk about Enoch. But in Jude 14 through 15, we read this. And Enoch, also the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hands, speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Where did Jude get these two verses from? He got them from the book of Enoch. And people says, well, I don't find the book of Enoch in the Bible. It is true. It is not in our Bibles as we have them, King James Bible and most other versions. But the book does exist. Now, Jesus referred to Enoch. Jude referred to Enoch. And we have portions here. Matter of fact, Moses wrote chapter 6 of Genesis, quoting verbatim the book of Enoch. So parts of the book of Enoch made it into the Bible. And the question is, why did not the rest of it make it in? Well, let me leave that for a few moments. And let me take you back now to Genesis chapter 5 again. That's Genesis chapter 5. Genesis, the 5th chapter. And we're going to drop in verse number 23. And we read this. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. He lived on earth for only 365 years. All the rest of them lived between 700, 800, 900 years. But Enoch lived a short life. In verse 24, we read this, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. The book of Genesis was written down by Moses. Now, in Egypt, Moses lived about 1,000 years later than Enoch. And when Moses was in Egypt, after he came out of Egypt, the people of Israel had gathered, each one had fragments of what happened before the flood. We had the story of Adam and Eve. There was one story. We had the story of Abel, of Cain. We had a lineage. And then there was the book of Enoch that was preserved by the priesthood of Israel. Moses now started to lay it out in a chronological order. And he laid down Adam and Eve, what happened in the garden, what happened afterwards with Abel and Cain, and then the lineage. And then in chapter 6, he goes over now and brings it in for the book of Enoch, and he tells a story what happened in prehistoric times. I'm sure that you've read Genesis chapter 6 and you never thought about it. But here's what I want you to think about. Of all the people that lived prior to the flood, only 8 people made it out. Noah, his 3 sons, and their wives. 8 people. We cannot draw the conclusion that Noah and his sons brought out their written records what happened at the creation time and afterwards. That was preserved. Now we had several lines going down. We got Job is one line. And you remember that Job, we talked about, he said, I know my Redeemer lives. And Job, living parallel with Abraham, had knowledge of what happened prior to the flood. So did Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and eventually Moses put it down into one book, the book of Genesis. Let me say one other thing about the time before the flood. About 50 to 60 years ago, archaeologists working in Iraq, and they were simply digging down to find out how far civilization would go. And as they went through layer after layer after layer, they found this civilization, that civilization, and they finally came back to 5,000, 6,000 years before Christ, and then suddenly they hit clay, clean clay. And they dug a little bit in it, that it was just clay. And the conclusion was, this was the end, or actually the beginning of civilization. We hit the beginning. But the man in charge of the digging simply says, no, we're going to dig more. And they dug down another 15, 20, 30 feet, and suddenly they hit another civilization. And they were amazed. And they realized that the civilization before the flood was on a higher technology than after the flood. The technology before, they could write, they were reading, they had cities, they were selling, buying, they had deeds, courthouses. It was a very high civilization prior to the flood, technology-wise. Let's find out now. What happened? How was the lives? How was life before the flood? And I want to read Matthew 24:37, because I want to hammer that in. That's Matthew chapter 24. And verse number 37. This is what Jesus said. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Noah lived for more than 500 years in the period before the flood. 2015 years ago, God showed that verse to me, and I said, "Now, how was life before? But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." Jesus is saying now this, what happened during this period of time will happen again. Let's find out what happened. Turn to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. I'm going to read it. We're going to talk about it. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, they were very fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall always strive with man, for that he is also flesh, yet his day shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, their same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, that every imagination and thought of his heart was only evil continually. And he repented the Lord, that he had made man on the earth, and he grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man, whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air. For it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generation of Noah. Noah was a just man and a perfect of generations. And Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted its way upon the earth. And God said to Noah, The end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Let's think upon 7 points here that I got in my outline. Fallen angels had moved into the physical realm, created bodies for themselves, and started having sex with women, creating a race, half human, half demonic, creatures that could not be saved. Satan's plan was simply not this. If I can go in and I can mingle in demonic or fallen angels with mankind, I will create a race that is half demonic, half human, and there will be no way that God could have a redemption for them. If he did, he would have to save the devil, his fallen angels, and everybody. This is what he talks about, corrupting of the flesh. Secondly, the creatures born to the women were a human-demon hybrid. They possessed spiritual power that the rest of the people don't have, and used this to move into leadership of the earth. These angels, now we are told in Jude, are reserved in everlasting chains. But it is interesting to notice that from approximately 1920, we suddenly begin to have a lot of information, sightings of UFOs. And people told very strange stories. They were talking about being abducted. They were talking about being sexually examined. There were women talking about they were impregnated and became pregnant. And of course, the media put this down, the government put it down, and says, well, you know, this is just fantasy. We talk about the aliens and so on, and there's nothing to it. But if you examine the last 60, 70 years, you will find the stories in nation after nation after nation. People have no connection. They tell the same story. Now, I believe that what Satan is doing is he's coming back in, and through artificial insemination, he's creating another half-demonic, half-human race. As a human race, we have learned now, we got the skill that we can go in and take out an egg from a woman, take it outside, fertilize it, put it back in again, and a woman would never even have known a man, and she still got pregnant. We have also learned now to do this. We can take an egg out, we can remove certain genes, we can splice in certain things, and we can genetically create what we want in height, intelligence. Once we broke the DNA code, we can now begin to manipulate and create whatever we want, just like in the days of Noah. The third thing is, evil had spread to such a degree that every imagination was evil. There was no goodness left in the general population. Let me just go back to my point before. I want to say this to you. I have personally done deliverances on people who had been abducted. And when I met these particular people, and we talked to them, prayed for them, and so on, there is no question in my mind that they were molested and that things were done to them that is done in the supernatural. Some of you might be writing me off for sympathy, but he's gone crazy now. Well, just let time go by, and you're going to find out that as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days when Jesus is coming back. My third point of evil. The Bible tells us here in Genesis that evil had got so hard, so expanded, that there was nothing good left. Look upon the general population today. We are moving into a generation. There's more murder. There's more destruction. More theft. More of evil. There's more evil continuing. It's growing. Fourthly, not only had the fallen angels corrupted the human race through the technology, they had also corrupted animals, birds, and insects through gene splicing and cloning. Today, when you buy corn, you can barely find corn today that has not been genetically tweaked. Tomatoes, they worked on them years ago. Have you noticed now you don't get seeds on your tomatoes? You buy plants every year, and you get a hybrid. They have been genetically modified. And you take anything, whatever it is. Let me talk about grapes. Now, sometimes you go to the store and you buy grapes. And you have a grape that's about that big. Large grape. You see the big clusters. And you think, wow, look at this. They are genetically engineered. They had taken a gene from a frog, and they have mashed that into the genes of the DNA of the grape, and that's why they are so big and juicy. There's a lot of stuff that is happening if you're buying in a supermarket today that you don't know what they've done to it. I only buy small grapes that I know have not been manipulated. You really have, if you look upon it, you can ask people, has this been genetically modified? Because now they talk about organic food. And generally, organic food is not modified. But notice the cost. Sky high to buy organic, cheap to buy what they want you to eat. Fifthly, the earth had become corrupt before the Lord. Just like the scientists today have changed the DNA of plants and grain and produced a hybrid vegetation, which is different from what God created. We know in part. It's like the killer bee. Some idiot scientist decided they want to increase honey production. So in South America, they imported a bee from Africa, and they bred it and they worked with it, with bees from South America. And they got a bee that would produce more honey, but it was aggressive. It's a killer bee. Once they got it loose, they could have put it back in the bottle again. And now they spread up into North America. They're spreading it the whole world. Anytime you mess with God's creation, we do not have God's wisdom. We do not know why he did this or that. And we can go in and tweak and find out that we create a mess because it has consequences in different ways. Sixthly, people had become violent. War and murder were rampant just like today. And seven, human, animals, birds, and insects were corrupted by DNA tampering. God simply says this, I'm going to kill all the humans, all the animals, all the birds. I'm going to take it all out. After 1,676 years. What did Enoch know? Let's talk about Enoch now because we're going to talk about faith. I just laid this down to understand its time and what Enoch had to live. I want to read to you from Jude 14 and 15. I'm going to read it from the outline here. And Enoch also, the seventh man, prophesied of these saying, behold, the Lord come with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them all of their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and of all their hard speech which ungodly sinners had spoken against him. The apostle Peter and Jude quote the writings of Enoch in the Bible. But most astounded a man, me, was the fact that Jesus repeatedly referred to as the Son of Man in all the four Gospels and in the Old Testament. I never thought much about it until I find it in the book of Enoch. Let's read that, and we're going to read verses 1 through 5 of 1 Enoch chapter 48. At that hour, the Son of Man was given a name in the presence of the Lord of the spirits, the before time, even before the creation of the sun and the moon, before the creation of the stars, he was given a name in the presence of the Lord of spirits. I want you to think about this now. We have read in the Bible, in the New Testament, it tells us that Jesus existed before the creation. We do know that he talks about the redemption, the paying for the sins was decreed before the foundation. Now, if you read the book of Enoch, you will find out that Enoch had revelations from God. Just like the apostle Paul, the apostle John. Enoch was lifted up into the heavens and given revelations. This is prior now to Noah. And Enoch simply said, at that hour, the Son of Man was given a name in the presence of the Lord, of the spirits, before time, even before the creation of the sun and the moon, before the creation of the stars, he was given a name in the presence of the Lord of spirits. God really not to Enoch. There is a Messiah. And his name is the Son of Man. What did Jesus call himself when he walked on the earth? He said, the Son of Man has come. The Son of Man has come to do this and this. Let me read on here in this from Enoch. He will become the light of the Gentiles. This is what you find in Luke 2:32. A light to light to the Gentiles. Now some people say, wait a minute. There were no Jews at this time. There were no Gentiles at this time. Why did Enoch write Gentiles? Very simple. He was prophesying thousands of years in advance, telling people there will be a group called Gentiles. If you read the rest of the book of Enoch, he prophesied about Israel. He talks about Jerusalem. Matter of fact, in the book of Enoch is laid out the story of Israel. Skeptics says, and scoffers, that some Jewish scribes sat down and wrote this just before Jesus came on the earth. It is not true because the book is much older than that. He will become a light to the Gentiles. He will become the hope of those who are sick in their hearts. What does Isaiah say? He was bruised for our iniquities. By his stripes, all sickness was laid upon him. All those who dwell upon the earth shall fall and worship before him. Paul says, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. At the end time, they shall glorify, bless, and sing the name of the Lord of spirits. Have you noticed that? Christianity is a relationship with Christ. And we are a singing people. We sing about the Messiah. We sing about God. We sing about His glory. This was prophesied. When did you hear the Buddhists sing? They chant. Muslims, they might do some singing here and there. But there's no singing such as in the Christian church. But we are worshiping the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. For this purpose, he became the chosen one. He was concealed in the presence of the Lord of the Spirit prior to the creation of the world and for eternity. Now, Job had this knowledge. And I preach from Job. It's in the Bible. And Job said, even if the worms are going to eat my body, my skin is decayed, I know my Redeemer lives, and I will stand alive and see him someday. There was a gospel preached before the flood. When Noah stood and preached for 500 years, he was preaching the Son of Man. He was preaching repentance. But very few Christians or ministers has ever been able to pick that up and to understand what really happened. The book of Enoch was preserved by the sons of Abraham and not by the Gentile nations. It dates back to the period before the flood, and it must be preserved by Noah and his sons, just like Noah preserved the early writings of the book of Genesis. Now, having this understanding, let me go back to my sermon outline now. And I want us again to turn to Genesis chapter 6 and verse number 8. Genesis 6, verse number 8. And I'm going to read my text here. During the tribulation time period, during the terrible time period between the fall of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden until the time of the flood, 1,676 years, the only bloodline that God preserved began with Seth and ended with Noah. We read here, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Enoch was his great-grandfather. What did Enoch have to fight? In Genesis, chapter 5, I'm going to go to verse number 22. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah. 300 years, he begat sons and daughters. Enoch had to fight fallen angels that walked on the earth. He had to face the giants. He had to face a generation that was totally corrupted. But here's what Enoch did. He had had a revelation from God. And he simply said, I believe in God. Adam was created by God. Eve was created by God. They had walked with God. They have seen Jesus, the Son of Man. But when Satan came, they said, okay, God, we're going to switch over to the devil. You and I are going to be facing possible, in our lifetime, the Antichrist system. We're going to have a demonic influence that's going to be so strong that you cannot even begin to imagine it right now. We ask you for God's anointing. There's going to be a devil's anointing. And the people in charge during this time are going to be charismatic, but evil charismatic. What is the faith of Enoch? Enoch saw the giants. He saw the technology. He saw all these different things. And I'm sure that the devil flooded him and said, Enoch, come and join us, Enoch. It's lonely over there. All of us are following this Lucifer. And Enoch said, no, I will not follow. That's the reason why it says this. And Enoch walked with God. And he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God. And he was not, for God took him. This is why he had that faith. God loved Enoch so much. He was so impressed by this man that he said, I'm not going to let him die. I'm not going to let his body decay. I'm going to take him alive and bring him to me. When the rapture comes, the catching away, those that are alive at that time, we will not see death. We will be taken alive, and our body will be changed in the twinkling of an eye. It has happened, and it will happen. Despite Enoch's great faith and love for God, and I really want you to hear this now, only his great-grandson Noah and his wife, their three sons and wives were spared. Genesis 7:7. And Noah went in, his sons, his wife, his son's wife with him, into the ark because of the waters of the flood. As it was in the days of Noah, so should it be in the day of the coming of the Son of Man, when Jesus comes back. I want you to think about this now. Enoch had tremendous revelations. It was written down. He was preaching it. His grandson Noah picked it up. Of all the people, only Noah was worthy to be saved. There were millions of people there. Millions. And of all the millions, God could only find one man, two generations down, Noah. How many of our children are going to be lost? How many families, how many fathers and mothers you have raised your children as Christians, and you see them drifting away, and your grandchildren coming up, and they don't even know God. And next generation coming up, as it was in the days of Noah, so should it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Today it is hard to preach the gospel. It is hard to reach out to the younger generation. It's hard even to reach out to the older generation. Evil is increasing in crescendo. 1,676 years on the earth. And when the end came, 8 people preserved. How many people in this generation are going to be saved? Let's go back again to Matthew 24:37. That's Matthew 24:37. Have you noticed this, that many people are growing cold? They're getting weary in well-doing. And so we walked a long time with the Lord. I'm getting tired. I'm just not with it anymore. Matthew 24:37. I want these words to be hounded into you. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. But as the days of Noah were, so should also the coming of the Son of Man be. My closing scripture today is in Revelation chapter 14. That's Revelation chapter 14. We have seen in this church young people that were raised in the Christian homes. We've seen them in this church praising God, attending services. And today, they're not walking with God. God has become an enemy to them. They are hard, angry, resentful. We look at the children, and the children are rebellious. Do not want to know God. It's into all kind of things. In Revelation chapter 14, verse number 9, we read this. And the third angel followed him, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast as the Antichrist, and his image, and receive his mark in his forehead, or in his hand, the same shall drink out of wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lord. And the smoke of the torment are sent up forever and ever. And they have no rest day nor night who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receives the mark of his name. Here's the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. I was watching Bill Gator videotape we got years ago, and he had his singer on there, Ray Bolts, and he was singing a song on that tape. That tape was probably about 15 years old. And when I heard him sing that song, I liked the song, I liked the melody, but I could not enjoy it. Because Ray Bolts declared about a year ago, I am a homosexual. I'm walking away from my family. I've been hiding this for many years. And I'm now going to throw everything away and fulfill the lust of my flesh. Thousands upon thousands of people that are in the world today, that are in the bars, that are going to the whorehouses, the casinos, and the places, are former Christians. They used to go to church. They used to sing God's praises. They used to give to God's work. They used to lead people to Christ. But evil spirits took them over. And they are hard. And they hate God. They curse. They are vile. Remember what I've told you week after week. It doesn't matter. It's not important how you start. It is how you finish. It is how you finish that counts. Think about this. Adam lived for 930 years. Adam lived after the fall for 930 years. That's a long time. What did Adam do during these 930 years? Nothing worth mentioning in the Bible. Eve, what'd she do? We don't know. You take all the other patriarchs, and all they had was, he begets so-and-so, they beget so-and-so. But none of them did anything that made a difference. How many of us today are living such a life that we are having an impact in the world. You're impacting the people around you that you work with. Impacting your family. Or you're living like Adam and the rest of them. You're mentioned one time, that's it. I'm sure Adam enjoyed himself. He married, had many, many children. He had children for 900 years. I mean, a batch of children. Do you understand something? Not one single descendant of Adam after he had Seth made it out of the flood. Not one was redeemed. That's a tragedy. You and I are going to be facing the end times. And I want to read again this verse. Revelation 14. And I pick it up here in verse. Let me go back and find. I just got Revelation 14. I want verse number 13. And I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, says the Spirit, that they may rest for their labors and their works do follow them. Notice, and their works do follow them. Our money, we're not going to take with us. Our homes, we're going to take with us. We're going to take nothing with us but our works, what we have done for Jesus. I'm going to read Hebrews 11 one more time, and then we're done. Hebrews 11, 5. By faith, Enoch was translated he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had his testimony that he pleased God. The faith of Enoch is of a man that stood alone in a world of evil, where there were fallen angels intermingling, halflings, a dazzling technology, sexual perversion. Not one person worshiped the Lord. And Enoch, by himself, focused on God and had faith, worshiped him. He preached, and God said, you're pleasing me. I love you. I'm going to take you out of the hellhole and bring you alive to my bosom. That's the faith of Enoch. It's easy to stand and praise God when you have people around you that are praising God. But when you are in the midst of an ungodly crowd that are cursing and screaming and drunk and everything else, would you dare to lift up the Bible and say, Jesus is Lord? That's the faith of Enoch. To stand when no one else stands and say, I believe in God. Let's stand for prayer. My Heavenly Father, O Lord God, we are facing a difficult situation in the future. And Father God, in the flesh, we are weak. We might say here, Lord, oh yes, I'm going to take torture. I'm going to be strong. I'm going to do this and that. But Father God, I recognize today the flesh is weak. And Lord, unless you give us the faith, we will not be able to stand. Father God, none of us have the in us. We need your presence. We need the Holy Spirit. Because without the Holy Spirit, we are dead. And I pray, Holy Spirit, fall upon us today. Fall upon us today, Holy Spirit. Convict us of our sins. Give us a gift of repentance. Help us to confess our sins, Father God, not hide it. Help us to turn from it, renounce it, and break the curses. And Father God, that we can be like Enoch in the last days. We simply say, and also Father God, what Joshua said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Grant us this, Lord. I ask in Jesus' name. If you're watching and you say, well, I'm not even saved. I'm not even a Christian. Well, here's the good news. All you have to do is to say, my Heavenly Father, forgive me of my sins. I believe that you are. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe that. Come on, Jesus. Come on into my life and be my Lord and Savior. And He will save you. Then call us. Contact us, and we will minister to you and help you to grow. In Jesus' name. The altars are open here now. If you have a need today, you come. If you're sick, you need to have a healing, come. If God has been calling you into the ministry, surrender today. Whatever it is, the altars are open. In Jesus' name.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth. And your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you three questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything, even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all three questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these three questions are but three of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5, 7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends his love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with his shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that he sent his own Son to pay a debt he did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are three places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of two places, heaven or hell. God did not send his Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through his Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." You see, God offers his love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, he will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, he will do for you. If you call out to him, he will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past. And there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All he wants for you is to come to him. He will help anybody who calls out to him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, he will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now, and I put my faith in you. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that you paid for my sins on the cross through your shed blood, and that you died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank you for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with you. Help me to be obedient and to walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever.
You've been listening to Pastor John S. Terrell of Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. This message was the third part in the series, Walking in Faith, and was entitled, The Man That Never Died. Enoch lived during the time period that was destroyed by the Great Flood. He was a man of great faith who pleased God so much that he was translated after 365 years on the earth and never saw death. Enoch passed his knowledge on to his son, and eventually Moses used this information 1,000 years later in recording Genesis chapter 6. Even in the New Testament, we find that Jesus referred to the time before the flood and that Paul and Jude also quoted the book of Enoch. The people living before the flood were evil continually, but Enoch was like a bright light that walked with God and kept his integrity. This is important because we will have to confront what Enoch faced thousands of years ago as the world reverts back to that type of activity during the reign of the Antichrist. History repeats itself, and we will do well to learn from the past so that we can face the future and be victorious. This message is available on cassette, CD, and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1305. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can learn more about Pastor Terrell's ministry, read insightful articles, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the toll-free number in the United States is 1-888-708-3232. That's 888-708-3232. For calls from outside the U.S., the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.